I just got stuck in a bogey train.
I didn't even hear it.
Dude, that was an unbelievable crack.
Yeah, it I don't know. It didn't come through, but anyway.
You could probably see the water flying everywhere.
I could. That was Noah attempting to crack open his can as we were starting to record, but didn't come through audio wise. But
anyway, I think we're 0-2 on can pops.
We are. We must have such good mics that just like filters all of that stuff out. That's not what it is. Dialogue.
It's our good mics. That's what it is.
Welcome everybody to episode 53 of the Bogey Train podcast. Who would That's have ever good. Thought we'd get to 53 episodes? All Dude. The haters and losers were saying we'd make it to 52 and no more.
Everyone in my life, no way you get 5-3. We showed them, didn't we?
We did. Back in 2022, the over under, Vegas set the line at 52.5. And I saw everyone was hitting the under there, and so I kept the receipts.
Yeah. That's a put the farm on the over bet.
Yeah. Yeah. If you knew what you were doing, you would have done that.
Yeah.
So everyone's intrigued now. You crack the can. What are you drinking?
Yeah. They've been asking. I'm drinking a peach Waterloo, which is basically peach LaCroix. Sparkling water.
Now, before we started recording, I told you what my thoughts are. That's just horrible. I don't understand why anybody would drink something like that instead of just water. Like sparkling water is really, really bad.
Honestly, I'm not really sure why I'm drinking it either. I would rather be drinking a water right now. And there were water bottles in the fridge and I just didn't grab one. So
do you have any Mio on hand?
Oh no, but that would be unbelievable in this.
Yeah. If you throw some peach Mio in there, that would be like,
oh,
or like mango, some peach mango.
That's such a good look. A little liquid IV perhaps. Get my electrolytes.
Now liquid IV with the carbonation, that would be it'd be extremely potent too in a 12-ounce can.
That's true. Really would hit you.
Yeah. I had a liquid IV earlier today.
Oh, what flavor?
While I was out golfing, I had the firecracker popsicle flavor.
I don't know what that tastes like.
It's good. That's like my go-to flavor right now. But I don't know if I can financially afford to keep drinking liquid IV. It's like $5 a sleeve.
Yeah, they're tough. No, they hit the bank account, but you need your electrolytes. And I don't know where else you're going to get them. So
I know, that's true. We're getting word from Jangs that he is just now leaving softball. But we push on.
Yeah,
I feel like we're just going to postpone any of the open talk to when he gets there. He might have some takes, but I think you and I can fill the space until then.
That's fair. How about the other open coming up this week?
The Dattail Pro-Am, that one, or the 3M Open?
Either one, I guess. Both probably similar level events.
Yeah.
Similar fields, probably.
Is it low key? Probably. Like if you compare the average world ranking of the pros in the Dakotas Tour event this weekend versus the 3M Open, we might have similar average.
Yeah, that's not a good look. I have seen a couple of low rounds from you recently, though. Seem like you're on a little bit of a tear on the golf course. Is that true, or is it just a couple low rounds?
I actually am playing pretty good right now. Did I send you guys my round today?
Not today. Well, maybe. Okay, maybe I played, I don't remember.
I played pretty good today too.
Okay.
So like 2 weekends ago or a week and a half ago, whenever it was, time is a flat circle. Played the state match play, but I had to do the last chance qualifier. So the day before the tournament started, because my first one got rained out. So I won that with a 69.
Let's go.
So it was 29 players and seven got through. So I ended up getting medalist at that qualifier. So I played pretty good there. Played pretty good in my matches. Obviously don't have scores posted those because it's match play. And then after that, after I got eliminated, spoilers, I went up to Watertown and shot a 67 that weekend. And then I don't know if I had played until today. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But played today.
A couple nice rounds.
Yeah, I played pretty good today. I shot one under today, too.
Dang.
The Prairie Green from the tip. So, yeah, you played that course.
Yeah.
You played that course with me right before my wedding.
Yeah. That's a good round out there.
Yeah, tipped that out today. So that's like, it's like 7,200 or something. Yeah, I mean, weather was really good. Barely any wind, but I played
pretty good
today. Yeah.
That's sick.
So absolutely juicing the handicap right before the net event this weekend. So not good on that front. I'm going to have to be playing off like a +2.3, one of those two.
That can't be good. Bad spot to be in.
No, yeah. Right. Like golf game is feeling pretty good, but like,
yeah,
the handicap for the net events is in a tough spot right now.
Yeah. Bummer. What can you do?
I'm very glad there is a gross division for individual, but for the team event this weekend at the Pro-Am, there's no gross for the team. So I'm kind of shooting my team in the foot with the net situation here, but hoping to just, I don't know. We'll want to just have a good one. Are you in Minnesota right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So what have you been up to?
I've been home for the month of July, taking some time off of work, finished up in Florida at the end of June, and back helping my parents build a house right now. They're building a new house. So big moves for the Johnson family.
Yeah. Have you been playing some golf up there?
A little bit. I don't care to share my scores at all, but I have been playing a little bit of golf.
I'm told that July is a good time to play golf in Minnesota.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Did you guys have like a mosquito disaster up there, or was that just in this region?
It's been like a bad year, but I wouldn't say disastrous. Like slightly above average mosquito year.
Okay. It's definitely calmed down now, but like, so we had all this rain and all this flooding in like late June, second half of June.
Yeah.
And then 10 to 14 days after that, the mosquitoes were like indescribable. It was so bad. Like you just like, step on, you're just on a golf course. If you haven't covered yourself in some sort of spray, like it is like legitimately unbearable.
That like sucks.
I've never seen mosquitoes like that.
That's the worst.
But it ended up being manageable, like when I went back up to Brookings for the tournament. But because of like a week before that or 5 days before that, I went up there and played 9 holes at the course where the qualifier was, and I was not prepared for that. And so the mosquitoes were like, it was like just a twilight nine. I just buzzed up there quick. And I was just walking. I was carrying my clubs and I like legitimately played speed golf. Like grab a club, swing, grab the bag and like,
yeah,
basically jogging before the ball even lands.
That's brutal.
And couldn't even stand over the ball, but it's a lot better now. Didn't need any spray today, so
sick. My last round was with a fellow Northwestern golfer, Caleb Johnson. We played Loggers Trail like 2 days ago.
I saw that. And
yeah, weather was unbelievable.
Great range out there. Practice range is awesome.
Yeah, little TPC Sawgrass replica hole. It's pretty sick.
That's the one.
We were kind of slapping it around, but we got paired up with this random single guy. He was, I don't know why he was playing Loggers. He like lives downtown Minneapolis. He said he plays the city's courses a lot, but whatever.
He's so like, why does it matter that he was single?
Well, I don't know if any girls, single girls listen to this podcast that live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, are looking for a single golfer that's not, you know. There's a guy downtown. All right. Probably hang out with you. But
so would this guy be like in a 0 to 8 handicap range, or is he in like a 20 to 30 range, or what are we?
Yeah, what are we looking nearing at? 20. 20, okay. Yeah. He probably shot, you know, 90 something. But he was just kind of slapping it. You know, he was all right. He was all right. But the best guy to play with, because we would hit a drive like you'd hit like a drive kind of off the toe and it would go 290 yards, whatever. And this guy would be like, whoa, you crushed that. You know, some stuff like that. You hit an iron shot from 120 yards to, you know, I don't know, pin high 30 feet away. Not a good shot. You'd be like, hey man, great shot. Just gassing us up the whole day. He was unbelievable. If you ever got down on yourself, he was there to fire you back up.
Now I do. That's like, I can't dispute that at all. Like the right height man does make a big difference. Now I just want a word of caution for people like that. If you take it just a little bit too far, then it's game over. I'm thinking of like in high school when you know, if you're in tryouts or something and you're getting paired with a kid who's, you know, maybe not quite the golfer. You know, he's fine. He's doing golf for fun, not exactly competitive. And you hit and you know, maybe you've made a couple bogeys back to back on the bogey train. You know what that's like. And then, you know, you hit another shot that's not up to your standards. And so you're really like, it's really building up now. You're starting to get frustrated. And then he goes, oh, really good shot, man. But like, but that's it, you're just not in the mood for it. You're just not in the mood for it. And it was like, it's like, no, actually that sucked.
But, that was bad. You know, this guy was good though.
I'm glad this guy absolutely towed the line.
He found it perfect. It was the majority of them were like, we would just hit a drive and you'd hit it good or hit it bad. And he would just be like, wow, like you crushed that one, you know, just like enamored with that. Or you'd hit like a 5 iron and like, oh, that one sounded really good. Just if I could have him say a couple of those phrases and then I could record it into a little box with buttons and then I could just like play them to myself when I'm on the course when I needed a little bump of encouragement, that would be great. So maybe I can get a hold of the guy sometime to do some voice recordings for me. But
yeah, you'll have to find him.
Minneapolis, he's somewhere in there. It's only 3 million people.
You know, if you ever get back into playing tournaments, you could just like your entire like range warm up. You could just have an AirPod in, and it's just like quotes from that guy.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I mean, if that doesn't raise your self esteem, then I don't know what will. I don't think anything will.
What was your best shot when you played with Caleb at Loggers Trail?
Okay, so we're playing stroke play 1v1 for like McDonald's or something. Caleb's like one stroke up with maybe 4 holes left. And we keep like both getting pars on every hole until 17. I make up a stroke. So now we're tied going into 18. Couple nice drives. Do you know Loggers Trail that well?
I played it once. I can't picture the 18th hole. Okay. So you might have to describe it for me.
18 long par 4. The green is like sitting in the bottom of a valley, basically. And there's a big kicker slope right. So if you land it right of the green or short right of the green, it usually will bounce down and trundle on. And it was playing really firm that day. So I like took a club off and I'm kind of aiming a little right to play this kicker slope down. And I kind of catch my 8-iron a little off the toe and it pushes maybe, you know, 5 yards right of where I'm trying to hit it. So it's like right on the fairway line. If this gets a good kick, it could be unbelievable. And it lands like 3 feet in the rough. It takes the softest bounce ever and just stays right up on top of the hill in the rough, like maybe 15 yards short of the green and 20 yards right of the green. And I'm just like, that's unbelievable. Could have been so good. Caleb hits his to like the front left of the green. So he has like a 15 footer for birdie makeable. And I've got this like 30 yard chip from a baseball Eli, balls way above my feet, downhill. I mean, down the kicker slope. It's like super hard. And I just catch this little risky 60 degree, lands short, takes a pretty big hop, starts trickling. And we're all like, this is going in. I mean, it's tracking the whole way. Starting to slow down, kind of going down the hill, tracking, and just burns the left edge. I'm left with like a 2 footer per par, whatever. I'm like, that would have been crazy to win like that. Tap in par, and then Caleb missed the birdie. So ended up tying the match, but big clutch wedge on the 18th that almost sealed it with a chip and bird.
That would have been crazy.
What could have been? I got another good shot out of the guy too on that one. So
another good shot. It sounded like maybe a great shot was in order.
Yeah. You know, maybe he could have stepped up a little bit on that one, but he was probably out of compliments. You know, how many things do you really have to say to a guy on the golf course? So can't blame him for that.
You know, this isn't a politics podcast. Who knows? Maybe one day.
I don't know if there is a qualifier on this podcast.
Oh, what?
How cool. I don't know if this is a anything podcast.
True. But I saw some clips from the old RNC and I don't know. I feel like former President Trump's golf game gets talked about a lot.
A lot by him and by other people.
Like there was a speaker that was the pro that he's head pro at one of Trump's courses. And like half of his speech was just like talking about how good Trump's golf game is. It's like, I mean, he's like, oh yeah. And you know, Trump hit his iron to 12 feet on the 18th hole and needed that to win the club championship. And of course he poured it in dead center to win the club championship. And it's just like, I mean, like, hey man, find you someone that gasses up your golf game like Trump's golf game.
Yeah, that's true. So,
by himself, true. By his people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I think when you have that position, you might have a little easier time getting people to gas up your golf game. I've also heard the White House does shave off some strokes on your golf game.
You know, I do want to say, so the day we were recording this, earlier today, Bryson DeChambeau's YouTube channel released a video of him playing with President Trump. So I haven't watched it yet. But I've seen clips of the putting stroke from Trump, and it is something. Like, you have to see that. Like, that is – have you seen it? Have you seen the clips I'm talking about?
I haven't watched anything from this video yet.
His putting stroke is crazy.
Really?
Like, crazy. Another thing I would say, props to Don for doing that, because like, he everyone knows he always hypes up his golf game, but he could have very easily, you know, just like hid behind. Yeah, man. Like, it's really good. Like, I don't need to show you guys, but to go on a video, like on Bryson's YouTube channel, like that's going to be seen by so many millions of people. Yeah. Like, low key props for doing that. Like,
yeah,
going under the microscope there.
That's true. I never thought about that. Yeah, we'll see him play 18 holes. I mean,
yeah. So I think they play from the red tees and they're scrambling. So they try to
break 50. Yeah.
Yep. So, the more I thought about it, it's like, yeah, he did not have to do that. So kind of gutsy, you know, like
it's kind of crazy that
loves to talk about his 2 handicap, you know? So like he did, it took some stones.
It's crazy that Bryson, former PGA Tour, basically a PGA Tour, he's a professional golfer, and Donald Trump, the former president, are releasing a YouTube video about them playing scramble golf. Like, that's just an unbelievable. Yeah. It's crazy that Bryson's even releasing YouTube videos, and even crazier that Trump would be in one.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah.
It's something else.
I saw some clips of Trump on the range, and he actually had a decent move. He takes it back crazy inside, but he makes a nice little
inside correction. And flat.
Yeah, inside he makes a nice little correction, sure. and he comes down pretty on plane and makes a good move at it.
He basically parks his cart darn near on the tee box, right on the fringe too. He puts the cart wherever he wants. I mean, I guess if you own the property.
I told you about when I played Trump International in West Palm, Florida.
Yes.
The carts were twice as fast and no GPS on them. You just drive wherever.
That's crazy.
So he's got some, look, I'm not endorsing anything or anything, but he's got a couple things figured out.
You know, and it's insane how close he was to being just JFK'd on live TV.
Yes.
Like that inches, is still dude. that like 1 inch. That is, that lives rent free in my mind. I probably think about it 30 times a day.
And yeah, just like what a different world we would be in.
Yeah. How close it was to that happening.
So crazy.
Yeah, like I was golfing today with a guy I work with, and we're just on the ninth hole. I'm like, I literally said, like, it's still living in my head the fact that how close we were to that happening.
Yeah, just imagine.
But you know,
Trumpster,
the shooter. I mean, you can say it was one of those last second gust of wind, or you know, maybe he just pulled it a little bit. Not quite sure.
Yeah, get a little quick with the downswing.
Yeah. Shoot, I had something I was gonna. Oh yeah. So do you remember when we played Dakota Ridge? This is speaking of.
Oh yeah.
Golf carts going certain places.
The match to end all matches.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we couldn't even get our carts to go anywhere other than the cart path for like the first 5.5 holes. But Caleb was on his game today. He got us. He got us all on his game that day. He got us all figured out.
Yeah.
But a couple of my coworkers, well, a few of them, like 3 of them, went up and played Dakota Ridge a couple of years ago. And one of them is older. He's definitely an older fella, and you know, maybe not quite as aware of things. And they're on the 17th hole, you know, 17. I made a legendary birdie there, just super clutch.
Yes, oh yeah, yep.
And they're just playing that hole. One of them, his name is Jason. I don't know if he was in like the bunker or whatever. One of them was like taking the cart up on the path, but then they just turn around and all of a sudden the older guy, he just has the cart right on the middle of the green. he didn't know he was on the green, but his cart was just on the middle of the 17th green. And they're like, what are you doing?
That's insane.
With possibly some expletives laced in there, but
yeah, well, all right. I love good
that.
Time for
love
him.
That story.
So me and former player Mike Bowles and Caleb Johnson. This is another Caleb Johnson story. Actually, this is a Mike Bowles story. We were playing a golf course called Troy Byrne in Western
Fantastic
Wisconsin.
Track.
Yep. Great place. And we show up normal, you know, at afternoon, pay, hop in the carts and start playing golf. And we like pull out to the fairway on the first hole to go to our balls. And the cart goes beep, 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 you know, stops. And it's like cart path only this hole. I'm like, all right, that's fine. Cart path only this hole. That's, we didn't, you know, nobody told us anything. We're like, right. Oh, gotta be this hole. We'll just back it up. And of course they back up at like a 10th of a mile an hour, you know, it. So you're just beep all the way back in the cart path. All right, you're good to go. So boom, we're done with the first hole. We get to the second hole. We're like, all right, gotta work here. Fire out into the fairway again. Beep, cart path only this hole.
I'm having flashbacks to Dakota Ridge.
We are. Now we're like, okay, maybe it's just cart path only. So we start looking around and all the other carts are on the cart path. You know, people are taking clubs out to their balls. I'm like, all right, that sucks. Cart path only today. Nobody told us. Kind of sucks. Whatever.
It's a total buzzkill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You might as well just walk at that point.
Yeah, seriously. But well, and it was, I mean, it was a million degrees that day too. Like I was sweating through everything. So it was actually kind of nice to be able to drive a little bit, but whatever. Fast forward to hole like six or something. And me and Mike are in a cart. Mike like hits his drive to the right side of the hole, right by the cart path, maybe just left, maybe 10 yards left of the cart path. And it's down. Good strategy. Like this. Yeah. Right.
On days like that, you just got to aim for the path.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Credit to Mike. Phenomenal tee shot. Put in a great spot. But we get up to his ball from the cart path and it's like just off the path. We're like, we can probably make it down. So we go down. It's like on a pretty steep hill. We leave the cart path, go down the steep hill right to the ball. And it's like letting us for a while. So we're like, oh, we're getting away with it. We're close enough to the cart path that we should be fine. And Mike's standing over the ball. And all of a sudden, like right before he's about to hit, the beep, 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 you know, cart path only sign comes up on the cart. And I'm like, whatever. Mike's like, whatever, I'll just, you know, hit and we'll get it out. So he's kind of like resets, goes through his routine again, you know, hits the shot, watch it, whatever. Ends up taking maybe a minute start to finish on that. And the cart's kind of like on and off beeping the whole time. And he gets back in the cart. We slap it in reverse and, you know, slam the gas pedal down and nothing. Cart just doesn't move at all. You know, still beeping at us. We slap it in forward, you know, boom, nothing. We're turning off the cart, turn it back on, try to get this engine going at all.
And did it just not move because you would have been reversing up the hill? Is that why?
No, it just wouldn't move. Like the cart shut down.
Okay.
But, it, you know, everything was functional, but it wasn't letting us move at all, at all. So me and Mike get out of the cart. We throw it in like forward. I'm trying to like step on it and we're trying to push it. It can like barely get pushed. And if it was flat, we can maybe do it, but we start to push it. We start to get, you know, going up the hill and there's no way we can push this thing up the hill. So we're out there in like 95 degree heat, pushing this cart as hard as we can. And it's not budging at all. We're looking at like Caleb and his buddy up on the green and they're just laughing at us. Like, what are you guys doing back there? So finally we're like, what's going on? We got to call the pro shop, see what's up. So we call the pro shop and I go, hey, we pulled just off the cart path on hole six, whatever. And the cart's like locked up on us. It's frozen. It won't let us go. And he goes, oh, are you guys cart 39? We locked you out. So they had their eye on us, locked us out. He's like, we'll fire off the cart path only. You'll be able to go wherever you want for like a minute. And then we're going to put it back on. We're like, sweet. So we hung up. Boom. Good. Got her out of there up to the green. Drenched in sweat. Finally got to the hole. Whatever. Cart path, fine, I guess. Now, fast forward like three holes. Message on all the carts. They wiped the cart path only thing at like hole 10 when we got to hole 10. So we were good to go wherever we wanted to from then on out. And then we were good to drive, whatever. So we only played the front nine, cart path only, and got locked in a cart called. The guys just like knew. They're just like, oh, are you guys cart 39? Yeah, we locked you out.
Why? How's that going to help the situation? Locking you guys out. Leave a cart there and just start carrying your clubs. I guess that brings me to an interesting point. Like, you know, I would say majority now these days of courses I play, the carts have GPS. Would you say that's a net positive or a net negative?
Oh my gosh. I don't see any positive. It's a full negative.
I mean, it's like, if you haven't played the course, even if you have, like, it's nice to look up at those screens and then just like touch and say like, oh, it's that far to this bunker, or like, that's where the fairway turns at that yardage. Like, or to see the hole from a bird's eye view. It's
nice. All right. Yeah, I get that. I guess I thought you were saying like the, like where they have this restricted zones or whatever, where you got to back out.
Well, right. I mean, that's part of it. That comes with it. It comes with the territory.
Those are so tough. Net negative for sure. For sure. Net negative. Almost full negative.
I can't have a problem with that take. I'd have to think about it a little bit more, just because usually the GPS screen is helpful, but yeah, the fact that the cart can get all locked up, or you go a certain spot and it just dies, it's tough, man. People just power hungry or something. All right, man. I don't know if I want to. If Jengs is going to be on soon, or if we just do it, because
I think as long as we don't go down the leaderboard, then we'll leave him with something to do.
Fair. All right. So we will be recapping. Are there any of the tournaments between our last episode and now that you feel like should be talked about? Because I was looking at the calendar behind me and nothing really stood out.
Yeah. I mean, I like to watch the Scottish Open. I feel like I have a little bit of a tie to that course.
What do you mean you have a tie to that course?
It's a Tom Doak original.
Okay. That brings me to a take I had. Maybe I shouldn't fire it off.
Okay. No, go ahead.
I actually, if we were going to record after the Scottish Open, I was going to include that I am extremely anti-Renaissance Club.
I got to hear more.
I feel like the whole idea behind these opens, Scottish Open and, of course, the Open, like, I feel like the whole idea should be playing traditional links golf courses in Scotland and England or Northern Ireland, wherever the Open is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they used to go to Castle Stewart. They used to go to Gullen. They used to go to, you know, these classic links courses. And then they go to this brand new, like, I'm just not a, it's never resonated with me. Ever since the Scottish Open has been played at Renaissance Club, it feels like a fake Scottish Open. That's my take.
It's pretty linksy, though.
I mean, sure, it would technically be links golf, I suppose, but it doesn't sit right with me.
You're just missing the old tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I get that.
I feel like the Scottish Open should be. Now, I guess I mean, not to say there's no room for newer courses, but I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a lot of great classic courses in Scotland that they could play the Scottish Open at, because obviously not everything gets a look in the Open. So I think they're just leaving a lot on the table there, going to a Renaissance Club every single year.
Yeah. Some Doak slander, but whatever. It's fine.
I don't even think it was that much slander against Doak. Like, I'm not, I don't even know if I'm enough of an architecture snob to even like nitpick the actual design.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess you are missing out on some tracks. I get that. That's very fair.
But I understand how it would be a lot easier for them, like logistics wise and a lot of other things, but like, couldn't we even play at King's Barnes? Or
King's Barnes is pretty new though.
Yeah, but it's sick.
Very sick.
I don't know. I just would like to see some other courses. That's my take there.
How about
you got a gold mine up there?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, you really do. How about the rotation for the Open Championship? How do you feel about that rotation?
Bring back Trump Turnberry, baby.
Yes. Every other year, perhaps.
Every four.
I've always thought it's weird that they have a rotation.
Like, what do you mean? Say more.
Like, they kind of just have a set number of courses that they just use for that tournament.
Yes, but like, can't they kind of remove and add to it? So like, yes, there's a rota, but it's not like it's like a strict.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense.
It's still, but I know there's not technically like a US Open rota, but it kind of, to me, it feels somewhat the same.
Yeah. There kind of is Pebble, Pinehurst now. It kind of is.
Oakmont next year.
Yeah. Oakmont Classic.
I like Oakmont. Maybe I need more exposure to Shinnecock, but like as of right now, I would be Team Oakmont versus Shinnecock. Yeah.
Boo Shinnecock, boo Winged Foot, bring back Marion.
Dude, 100%. 2030, I think. We're back to Marion. I'm so obsessed with Marion.
Yeah, of course it's sick.
Speaking of golf courses that have unique flag sticks, played at Firekeeper in Kansas at the beginning of the month. That was interesting.
What was unique?
Do you know anything about that golf course?
No, only what you've said to me.
It's a Nota Begay the third design.
Okay.
It opened maybe in like 2011, something like that. It's been rated number one course in Kansas. I'm not sure if, you know, whatever. I'm sure there might be better ones, but just a very, very interesting golf course. Very difficult. So this was for a US amateur qualifier, and we, you know, probably played it at 7,200, 7,300, somewhere in there. But it can go all the way back to like 77.
Yeah.
Like, it's like sickeningly long. If they wanted to make it that way, there's TrackMan on the range.
Sick.
Very interesting. There's like one big TrackMan like on the back of it. And then there's like two of them that are downrange looking back, and like, you can connect it on your phone and look at numbers and ball flights and stuff, I guess.
That's crazy.
You just scan a QR code. Very strange kind of grass. I was curious if you'd have any insight into what, like, some of like the rough down the hole, like down the fairway was like this, but specifically around the greens. So first of all, there was no fringe, which I thought was interesting. It's like just the green. Okay. And then weird. This rough that like some of it felt like bluegrass, but some of it was not, like very thick blades of grass, and the grass really? Itself was very, very, very thick too. Okay. Like it was very, like, I had not played on that kind of grass before. I didn't know if it was fescue grass.
Yeah.
I didn't know. It was, I don't know, like had a crabgrass vibe. Where was
this course? Yeah.
It was, gosh, I think like, I don't know, maybe like an hour west of Kansas City or something, or
okay.
Topeka, or I honestly
Midwest kind of range.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, just like the eastern half of Kansas.
Yeah. Interesting. That's very interesting. I don't really know what grown out fescue really looks like. Like 4-inch fescue, I don't really know what that looks like, but maybe. Could have been grass too. Who knows?
Because I don't know. It was weird. Like, it definitely was a learning curve, like hitting shots around the greens with that grass. Yeah, like, I had one short-sighted shot, so I had to open up the face a little bit. And this is like during the tournament round, not the practice round. And it was just so hard to read the locks. I think the grain was into me, but the ball was sitting like not too far down. So you had to figure out like how deep your club was going to go under it. And like, it was like a pretty big swing and the ball went like, it flew like 1 yard. So I was like, this is basically the same shot still. And I happened to get that up and down. And then, nice. Yeah, it was just really weird. Cause then after I flubbed it, then it was like sitting up even higher. So the next shot, it like came out super low, but it had a ton of spin out of the rough. It just like grabbed, but it was out of the rough. It was so weird. But
funky.
And yeah, it was like super hot, like 95, heat index 105. Pretty tough walk.
Yikes. Yikes, dude. You said they had funky flags too?
Oh, yes. They were like wind socks, basically, like big fat wind socks.
Oh,
and
really?
And the ends of them were kind of cut and pointed to kind of look like flames.
Oh, that's kind of cool. It's on brand.
Yeah. Greens were very quick. Yeah, it was a.
Funkiest flags I played on was a course called Belvedere in northern Michigan. The sticks were like, first of all, they're like 5 foot tall wooden stick flags. Like the flag sticks were just short. So that looked funky. And then all the flags were like long triangles, like long whatever. I don't know what it called. Basically, it was just a triangle.
Okay.
Long red triangle flying. So it looked like you're playing golf on like on the practice green, because all the pins were just short with like these little like pointy triangles on them. Kind of cool. Of a cool look though.
That's interesting.
Old school. I think, I don't know. Felt old school.
Let's see. I'm trying to find a picture of one of these. Dude, there's no way there's not a picture of the flag stick, just so you could see it. I mean, the listeners won't be able to either way, so I don't know. I just need to drive the ball a little straighter. That's all I know. So, and we got talking about this because we were talking about the Scottish Open and then the US Open and then the Open Rota, I think. So, which brings us to Troon. All I learned is that Xander is starting to be a stone cold killer. And I think I just lost Noah. So I'm going to pause the recording here. See if we can get him back and we can keep talking the open. And hopefully James will be on.
Hey.
So I just paused the recording.
Hello?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, you're live. You're live. We're back.
All right.
My phone just overheated, but don't worry. My can of Waterloo just cooled it right back down.
Jeez. The open at Royal Troon. Okay, so I'm going to just be straight up. I don't know that much about Royal Troon.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of is what it is. I just know last time they played there, Phil and Henrik Stenson were like playing a different golf course than everyone else, it seemed like, because of the scores. Was shaping up to be a really exciting finish until Xander kind of stepped on everybody's throat the last 8 holes. There was kind of never any doubt. I saw a stat, the longest par putt he had the whole day was like 2 feet 10 inches.
Wow.
It was just an absolute clinic. I think average score on the back nine for the field was like 36 and change, something like that, and he shot 31. So I think he beat the field average by at least 5 shots on the back nine. I think he had the only birdie of the day on hole 11. He then birdied 13 and 14. And then the par 5 16th. So, and this was not as close as even the final leaderboard looks, because Horschel birdied the last three holes to get to 7. And Justin Rose birdied 2 of the last 3 to get to 7. So, I mean, he ended up with a 2-shot victory, but really was not that close coming down the stretch.
Yeah. No, he handled it kind of in the bag on the back 9. I mean, like you said, a couple of those birdies on the back. From what I understand, the back 9 of that course is very difficult. So make a couple birdies on that stretch. I don't know. He looked good, man. He looked just dialed in, and a lot of great iron shots. Yeah, he just looked good.
And so I think the way that course just lays, I think prevailing wind is with on the front 9 and into on the back is sort of the what I gathered, all of my extensive research. So most of the time, like, the wind tends to be helping on the first 9, and then the first like couple holes on the back 9, it can be like sort of a crosswind. But usually, or at least what I've gathered, is like once you hit hole 12, maybe you kind of are turning back into the prevailing wind. Did you catch any of the Saturday coverage?
Because
Saturday was awesome.
I don't think I did. I don't think I did.
Because for the leaders on Saturday, for their last probably 11 holes or so, 11 to 13 holes, it was basically pouring rain. And with like 20-plus mile-an-hour winds, like the entire back 9, the entire back 9 on Saturday was complete carnage. Like those guys were hitting driver three wood, sometimes driver into these par fours and not reaching.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like Billy Horschel was getting like up and down for par from like 60 yards on like every hole. it was crazy. The final group on Saturday both hit drivers on the par 3 17th. Speaking of, did you see that shot Scotty hit on Saturday on par 3 17th?
On 17? No, I didn't.
So I think the actual yardage was like 20 something or 230 something. And it was just like pouring rain straight into the wind. And Scotty takes his 3-wood, just absolutely ropes it, just center of the face. It's like this low putt, and it just lands right on the front of the green and rolls. He had like 1 foot for birdie.
Dang.
Like it's hard to even describe how good that shot was.
That's sick. So
he was a few groups ahead. And then by the time the final group got there, they both hit driver on that hole, which you see professionals hitting driver on a par 3. And it makes you raise the eyebrows a little bit.
Yeah, can't be good. Can't be good. I saw Shane Lowry, one of my least favorite Irishmen, did not have a good round on Saturday. And I was shocked that he made it to his tee time Sunday. I thought he'd be spending some hours in the pub that night and maybe a couple hours in the pub the following morning.
So I actually had Shane Lowry on the agenda here. He was extremely unlikable. Like it's kind of interesting because first of all, this was taking place in Scotland. So why the Scots wanted an Irishman to win so bad, I'm not quite sure. Cause they had their support behind Rory, and then he started playing like garbage right away. Which, you know, I have something to say about Rory in a little bit, but so he kind of had the crowd support, but he was acting like kind of a prick the whole time. Like he was getting super annoyed with fans and then on or spectators. I don't know what I'm supposed to call them for the Open. On hole 11, which is like just a beast of a par four. And it's like 500 yards. It was into the wind. Nobody could reach the green Saturday afternoon. And Lowry, he's basically hitting a layup with some sort of like three iron or something like that for a second shot. And he kind of pulled it and it was going low left. It was headed towards, it looked like from the TV angle, possibly some gorse bushes. They like bounce and then hits a guy. I think it was like one of the open radio guys or something. And Shane just was, he just like lost it. He's like, you know, cussing out this guy for, you know, standing in the middle of the fairway quotes, even though he wasn't in the fairway. And because like, it took some distance off of his ball or something, but clearly didn't realize that it was actually a good break that it hit this guy and stayed in like the regular rough instead of going in some either much taller grass or the gorse bushes.
Is that the one where you pulled it and then you hit another one as a provisional?
I think that was the day before.
I remember seeing that and he like pulls one from the long grass into the gorse and then like is yelling at a guy with a camera or something. I'm like, apparently somebody made him pull it.
These are two separate incidents.
Yeah. Apparently some other guy is the reason he pulled it, which is so dust. But then he hits another one, like on the green, whatever. I think he like found his first ball and had to drop her. I don't know.
So he hit a provisional. Provisional was like a really good shot, but then they ended up finding his other one. So then he had to take another unplayable, even though he had already hit a provisional. Yeah. He had all kinds of golf balls in play on that hole. Like at least a full sleeve, maybe more.
He just like turned to the crowd after he hit it. I'm like, dude, like just you hit the shot, buddy. Like, what are we? Yeah.
He needs to figure it out a little bit and not be such a tool. Hopefully he can figure it out by the time they get back to Royal Portrush next year, which is where he won by, I think, 6 shots in 2019, which is crazy. As far as Rory goes, I mentioned Rory. I mean, I frankly don't feel like going down the leaderboard right now. I just want to offer a full-fledged apology in regards to Rory McIlroy. I don't know why I keep allowing myself to fall for this nonsense. He absolutely collapsed in the final four holes of the U.S. Open. And, you know, I saw that and I just, it must've been wishful thinking, but I said, you know, Rory's going to use this. He's going to come back absolutely on fire and he's going to win the next major. Rory's going to win the Open. I think I said it on our U.S. Open recap. That's what I was telling people for weeks. And then he comes out and lays an absolute egg. He said by the fourth hole in the second round, he was already thinking about where he's going to be taking vacation in the next week. So that was
taking some time off.
Yeah. I don't know if disappointing quite does it justice after I was riding for him, but I mean, this is me. I'm never, never, ever picking him to win a major again. Like I need to see
somebody it clip
first.
That. Someone clip that.
I need to see it first. And I've said that in the past and I let myself drink the Kool-Aid again. And I can't do it. Like I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I'm done picking it.
Hey, to be fair, he had a pretty good week at the Scottish Open.
And yeah, but that's also the Scottish Open.
Yeah, like, but still, I mean, what was he, fourth place?
He won that event last year. I mean, he cleans up at PGA Tour events. I don't think anybody is doubting his ability to play great in PGA Tour events and or even to play great in majors. But, no, I'm done picking him to win. I can't.
That's fair.
It's the hope that kills you. It's not good. Is there, man, there are like names I could point out on this leaderboard that either played really well unexpectedly or played poorly unexpectedly, but I do not have the bandwidth.
I've got a couple
to do it down the leaderboard.
No, we don't need to. I've got a couple that stand out from this tournament. One was JT after a 3-under Thursday. Shoots, was it an 8-over Friday? Something like that.
Dude, JT is like an absolute unstable compound.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think it was like 43 and then.
No, he went something. Out. The first day he had the solo lead for a while, but he ended up tied for like third or fourth or whatever after
that.
Round, he goes out in 45.
That's a tough opening nine.
Yeah.
That's tough.
He went out in 45 the second round, I believe.
Yeah.
And then I am trying to find him on the leaderboard here, and I'm having a tough time.
And then what, in with like a 39 or something?
So he ended up – he made a couple birdies after that. So he came in 33 – after that,
okay.
to be sitting at, so 71, he shot 78. I think he was like -3 or -4 in the first round. Okay, so he was -3. So that took him all the way back to +4.
After it came the second to cut by round. 2. Yeah.
And then in the third round, he comes out and he's 6-under through 12. To get to 2.
That's right. Did he shoot?
To get to 2-under for the tournament and like within the top 5 and makes a couple bogeys coming in and shoots a 4-under 67. And then in round 4, he shoots a 77 after tripling the first hole, hitting it out of bounds, like like 50 yards right of the fairway out of bounds. So like, holy cow. Talk about inconsistent is a tough one. Another one is Sam Burns. He was 7-over par through his first 11 holes of the tournament. Okay. 7-over through his first 11. And
what a start.
So through 2 rounds, he was +5. Then -2. Okay, so he was +3 through 2 rounds. And so he has a fairly early tee time. So he kind of gets out ahead of the weather and drops a third round 65 to get to 3-under for the tournament, which got him, I think, in the second to last group. He was in the second to last group.
Yeah, that's right.
So he was 7-over in his first 11 holes of the tournament, and then enters the final round at 3-under in like the second to last group, one shot off the lead. It's like ridiculous. And then,
I didn't see a single shot of his on coverage. Yeah. Okay.
Shot an 80 in the final round.
He was not on TV on Sunday.
So I'm curious if like Burns and JT would have shot like 40 under on a best ball or like 40 over if they all, or if the hole's like lined up the wrong way or the right way, but
if they ham and hammed.
Yeah. 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 If it was a ham and egg or an egg and egg.
An egg and egg is crazy. Crazy stuff from JT.
So I would have been very interested to see a best ball from those two for the week. I probably could really do it if I wanted to just pull up both their scorecards.
We'll one of our mini fans do that for us.
We'll have our producer do that for us.
Yeah. Yeah. But also wanted to bring up,
I'm getting word that the producer's me, so I don't think the producer's going to do it.
Tough luck for the bogey train. It's all right. Also wanted to bring up Scotty because I feel like he, even though his score on the leaderboard at the end of the tournament doesn't show it, he really was in the mix.
Yeah.
A couple bad holes.
This is kind of one of those times where, ever since switching to that like mallet putter, he's been gaining strokes putting in almost every single tournament. But this one was kind of one of those where he just, as the ball striking was incredible, but he just wasn't making anything. And like that three putt from 6 feet for double on.
Yeah, it's
hole nine on Sunday was just a gut punch, and really he didn't have a chance after that, and he was kind of had to press a little bit, but he ended up doubling 18. It's tough.
Yeah, he topped his tee shot or something.
Oh yeah, I actually did see that. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So, I don't know, Scotty. I wonder if he. Just with the quality of golf he was playing this year, like obviously he won the Masters, which is great. Nobody could ever complain about that. But like, you think he is just a little bit frustrated? He only got one major this year?
I think so. I think he was hoping to get more. Hard to imagine Scotty really that frustrated about anything. But
yeah,
you got to imagine after his start and how well he was playing, you're probably thinking three majors almost.
Yeah, he won Arnold Palmer. He won the Players. He won.
Yeah.
Or he got second at Houston. He won the Masters. He won the RBC. He ended up winning for sure the Travelers, probably another one in there. And, but wasn't, played pretty good at the PGA. I think he had a fairly high finish, but wasn't really a factor on Sunday after a tough third round. Was never a factor at the U.S. Open. And then, you know, here putting just let him down a little bit. I mean, you have to imagine he's a little bit disappointed with how the last three majors of the year went for him when he seemed unstoppable.
Yep.
But that's the thing, like in golf where like these guys get on crazy heaters and we become prisoner of the moment and it feels like nobody will ever be able to beat them again. But it's just, you know, basically impossible to sustain that sort of level of golf. And so like they all come back a little bit. Now Scotty's floor is, you know, infinite stories higher than everybody else's floor.
Yep.
So
yep.
Like Scotty regressing is still going to be.
Yeah.
You know,
but still it's like 10. even like Scotty's still playing. Sure. He's not playing like unbelievable golf. He's still playing really good golf. He's still playing world number one golf, but
yeah, he set the bar for himself.
Yeah. And then, you just have Xander with a hot, hot, hot week. You're just not beating that.
Yeah. I mean, the way Xander plays is just so sustainable and so solid. Like not to say Scotty's isn't, because Scotty's is extremely sustainable ball striking that good, but Xander's ball striking, it isn't on Scotty's level, but it is
good.
Very, very elite tier ball striking, and he's combined with
great
statistically. Yeah. Statistically, he's the second best putter on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
Like to combine how good he drives the ball, how good his irons are with putting, that's that good and that consistent. Yeah. Is lethal.
Scary. Yeah, that's scary. So, I would not have bet on Xander with two majors this year though.
I know. It's like, and so now if you're a voter, like who would you give player of the year to? Scotty or Xander?
Ooh, right now? Oh, right now probably still Scotty.
Cuz I think Scotty has like 6 wins and one major
and the Players.
Yeah, and one of them being a Players. And yeah. Xander has 2 wins, both of them majors. He has a few other high finishes, but 2 wins.
Yep. If he gets a couple wins down the stretch, now you start talking him. But I think probably Scotty.
You think it would still be Scotty right now for player of the year?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
First player to win 2 majors in the same calendar year since Koepka. In 2018, first player to win their first 2 majors in the same year since Spieth, 2015.
Interesting. I thought it would have been longer.
Those are kind longer, of recent. Yeah. So We have the Olympics coming up soon. Sure if I view that as must watch golf at this point.
Yeah, the golf doesn't entice me, but I love the Olympics.
I do wish there was a little bit different format. I mean, 72 holes stroke play. It's like, do we not have enough of that?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. Why don't they like get, I don't know, just randomly seated for a match play bracket? That'd be crazy.
Match play, or like, you know, how gymnastics has like different events and then like the all around. Yeah. So there could be a driving, there could be an iron, there could be like a short game competition, and then there could be like an all around gold medal too, but there could be like individual gold medals for the different aspects. Like, I'd
like to see a match play bracket and to see some serious volatility, you know, some guys from the Czech Republic just get hot and now all of a sudden they're in the final four.
Like, yeah. Ooh, or might take it or some sort of team aspect to it, to where like team USA could win gold versus, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they should call Gregory Norman and see if he's got any ideas.
In Paris at Le Golf National. Yeah, there you go. Team golf. I just want to say, keep an eye out for Team Australia's uniforms. Because they were outrageous last time in Tokyo. Like Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, like they looked like they were gearing up for like the Tour de France rather than playing golf. So Team Australia's outfits were absurd. So keep an eye out for that. Did you see the headshots for the Olympics?
No.
Dude, you gotta find them. Like they legitimately look like mugshots. I don't know what the Olympic Committee's guidelines were for these players to take their headshots, but it's like, it must be, hey, do it in front of a white wall. Take your hat off. Yeah, right when you wake up, and absolutely under no circumstances smile. Let's see. Olympic golf headshots. Let's see if anything. Okay. Yeah. So these things are absolute mug shots here. I'm going to pull this up for you. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to assume at this point that we're not getting a Jang's appearance on this episode. All right. Can you see that?
Yeah.
What in the world?
Good pick, Xander.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my gosh, they are. They're literally selfies in their bathroom wall.
Yeah, so that was last time.
Fake ID is the they're fake ID pictures. That's what they are.
This is a 2021 article. What are we? Come on. Come on, Bing. That's my problem. This is a Bing search.
Ah, yikes. Got a Yahoo that.
Wonder if they have the headshots on the U.S. website. Now, see, that's kind of tough looking. That picture.
That's a sweet picture.
Dude, the fact that Wyndham Clark weaseled his way onto this team is a disgrace.
Oh my gosh.
Is a disgrace.
There's only three medals that are given out, so.
Come on, man. Can I just Bing search Google?
Those old ones are Google the image of the Google logo. Type it in and then hit I'm feeling lucky. That's the best part of Google.
What does that do?
It just opens the top result. Oh, one of these has got to be good. Fans roast the mugshot like headshots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Rory. That's crazy. Now, to be fair, I mean, Scotty does have some experience in the relatively recent past.
Yeah.
Scotty's pictures like mugshot. So Scotty's mugshot does look a little bit more polished.
Yep.
Than everybody else.
Yeah. He's been there, done that.
Am I missing something? Why are these not loading? Ugh.
Rory looks like, I mean, he just.
Dude, like.
I mean, I don't know.
There's got to just be a list of these somewhere, man. Because, like, the Victor's is crazy. Yeah, I don't know.
It looks like they told Rory to wait till you miss a cut at a tournament and then go to the bathroom and take a selfie.
Yeah, like, it literally, like, Rory's, it looks like they took that immediately after he missed the tying putt at the US Open.
It looks like he's in the TSA line and they're trying to check his ID.
That's crazy.
Scotty does look good. He's got the pose down.
Xander's little hair crazy. Thing,
not too much.
Oh. All right. Anything? I don't even want to talk about Keegan as Ryder Cup captain right now. Question for you. So this is just during my last match of the match play. So we did a pod format. Are you familiar with that format?
No. Enlighten me.
At the state match play. Okay. So instead of just single elimination, like a 64-person bracket, you lose, you're done, you win, you keep going. They changed it so that you're guaranteed three matches. So they break it into 16 pods of four and you round robin. So you play the three guys that are in your pod. Best record moves on. So I won my first match, tied my second match. And in my third match, I have to win to have a chance because the guy I tied in my second match also had a win and a tie. And I was pretty sure he was going to win his last match.
Okay.
So I was like, so I had to win that match to get into a playoff with that guy. So I'm in my match. And the guy I'm playing still has a chance too, if he beats me and then the other guy loses. So we're through like four holes in our match. Like we got a fairly like friendly start. Like we were chatting a little bit, whatever. I was one up through four. And on our fifth hole, it's this par five. We both hit our tee shots like within probably 6 or 8 feet of each other's golf ball. And I was just away. So I hit first. I hit an iron just up short of the green, like had a really easy up and down for birdie. And also some background to this. They didn't have enough hearts and I didn't like reserve one for all three matches because I wanted to walk like at least the first match. Just to save a little bit of money.
Yeah. Respect.
So, I didn't on the outset, like pay up front to reserve cart for all three matches. And they didn't have enough carts at that point. So they're like, well, if you didn't reserve one, you got to walk. And I was like, okay, that's fine. But I'm the only guy walking in my group because there's two matches going on in the same group. It's a foursome.
Okay. Sure.
Everybody else is riding. I'm walking, so I'm just really trying to keep up, like pace of play wise. So anyway, yeah. I hit my shot first, and I just, you know, just the guy I was playing against, he was going to hit his shot, and I'm just like not really thinking. So, but apparently, I grabbed my brush and like scrubbed my club right in his backswing.
Really?
And I guess I was close enough for him to hear it, and so he hits a horrible shot. He like basically snap hooks an iron into the trees on the left, and then he's like glaring at me, he's like cussing at me.
No way.
Yeah
That's insane.
So because I guess I like rushed my club like in during his swing, and I was close enough that he could hear it. So he's like absolutely livid at this point, like I'm feeling really weird about it. And so at that point I'm like, well, I don't know if I really want to win this hole. And so he hits a great shot out of the trees to about like 20 feet for birdie. And I'm like just short of the green, like really easy look to get up and down for birdie.
Yeah.
And he's still like fuming. So I give him his 20 footer. I say,
sure,
pick it up. I say, pick it up. Like,
sure. Cool. He's move. Like, yeah. Cool. Move.
He's like, no. I was like, pick it up.
Yeah.
And And so then I proceed to run my chip by like 6 feet and not make the comebacker. So yeah. I actually lost the hole. So I went from like feeling I should probably be two up to all square.
Yeah.
And so it was like just a little bit tense. Like we didn't really say anything to each other for like the next probably six holes or so.
Yeah.
But long story short, I ended up tying that match to end up a half point short of playoff.
Really? That's so crazy. What a crazy.
So I told one of my guys at work about it. He's like, no, you shouldn't have done that. I just been like, F him. Like he hit a bad shot and he was trying to blame it on something. Like he's like, you shouldn't have like, you know, you should have done that. Yeah. Or whatever. But like, what are your thoughts on that sort of awkward situation? Like
I probably would have done it. I probably would have given it to him.
Yeah.
Just so he doesn't hit you with a golf club.
I mean, like, and I can't really blame it on that. Like, first of all, I should have got that up and down. And second of all, I had other opportunities later in the match because we still had like 13 holes after that. So I had other opportunities. Yeah. I could have won that match.
Yeah, I think that was a cool move.
Not like it just came down to that, but it, I don't know. It's just kind of a funny.
That is funny. I've never understood people like that. Like you can talk in my backswing. I've got no problem with it. You know, if trouble guys are having a conversation, I have no problem hitting the ball while that's going on.
Yeah. So,
and like, I get the etiquette in golf, but yeah, that's kind of crazy.
I don't know. It just kind of like, and we were like chatting the first four holes. And so it was like, everything was like normal and cool. And it just like that little thing put sort of a wet blanket on the whole match.
Bomber, dude.
Vibes went down the toilet after that.
That sucks. And I'm a vibes guy. I love golfing when the vibes are high, and I don't like golfing when the vibes are low. So,
yeah. Interesting little moment there, but anything else you really feel like getting off your chest? Or do you have any thoughts on the Keegan Bradley Ryder Cup captain situation?
Oh, I am so team Keegan. I'm so team Keegan. I love that.
I had like mixed feelings at first, but I have no reason to dislike it.
It feels a little bit like an NBA ref makeup call. But I'm for it.
My only like slight hesitation with it is that Keegan is still a competitive player on tour, and like in theory, like he could be a guy that could make that 12-man team. But I feel like, I mean, it sort of makes it impossible for him to play on this team now. Because he has already said there's no way he would choose himself as a captain's pick. And
you can't do that.
First of all, he would be a long shot to even make it on points in top six anyway. But then with all of the added responsibilities of being the captain, like I can't imagine that would make his on-course performance better.
Yeah.
Like just in the next year. So I feel like, I don't know, like for a guy that it's interesting because it guarantees him involvement in the Ryder Cup. And obviously the guy loves the Ryder Cup. So it guarantees his being involved, but also it sort of guarantees he won't be playing.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a interesting way to look at it.
I guess he probably had to play pretty good last year just to be on the bubble. So
yeah,
he probably isn't going to make it.
Right. It's sort of a, you know, maybe he's thinking like, hey, was last year sort of my ceiling? Like he had two wins in the season last year. One of them being an elevated event, like, you know, is he just being realistic and saying, hey, I'm probably not going to have a better season than that. And I didn't even get a captain's pick last year. So,
cause he could have turned down the captaincy, right? Like Tiger turned down his
Well, it's interesting because the way in Keegan's press conference, I actually listened to the whole thing, the introductory press conference. He said he didn't talk to anybody like about this. There weren't any talks. He said until I was told I was the captain.
Really?
So like presumably you could turn it down, but it was really interesting the way he worded it. Like he didn't say, well, until they offered me the captaincy. He's like, until I was told I was the captain.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
I thought that was kind of weird how he worded it that way, as if like he didn't really have a choice. Not that he would have turned it down, but
yeah,
he said he was told he was the captain.
No, I'm a big Keegan fan. After Full Swing season 2, I'm team Keeg all the way. I used to not be. I didn't like how he would step up to the ball and then like just keep like
twisting
the club in his hands. Yeah, it's like, buddy, just chill. But I don't know. I look past that now. That's gone. That's in the past, and I'm all on board with Team Keeg. So,
yeah, it's definitely an interesting pick. Like he doesn't have a Ryder Cup record that would knock your socks off, and you would think was worthy of a captaincy. But Team USA thinking outside the box a little bit, and at a certain point, I mean, I wouldn't have minded if they ran it back with Stricker, but I think they're kind of trying to get past that sort of generation of guys like Stricker, Couples, Love. So he has Webb Simpson as vice captain. I mean, I don't hate that. Don't love it. I don't really have like feelings either way.
Like, yeah, it's a whatever.
Webb Simpson is just kind of a graham cracker of a personality.
Yeah, yeah, probably not going to be playing on the team, so why not?
Like, for sure not going to be playing on the team. He's getting outrageous sponsors exemptions right now in a tournament he should not be playing in, so. I think our peak Webb Simpson days are pretty comfortably in the past.
Oh, so sad. So sad to hear that.
I golfed with Coach Ani last month. I think you see that in our group chat.
I remember a picture of the bucket hat.
Golfed with Coach Ani. We played the casino course out here. He shot a pretty clean little 79.
Yeah.
Dude, he needs he needs some new irons.
Like maybe some swing sticks too, some speed sticks.
Because Yeah, obviously he doesn't have like fantastic speed, but he can move the driver a little bit.
Yeah.
But just like his irons are decades old and he just hits them really, really short. And I think he would benefit from like being able to hit like
any more juice
160 instead of like hitting 5-iron from 160.
Yeah, that would help. That would help. He hits them very straight though. But yeah, that definitely.
He does. Helps. He does. He can definitely, he can definitely get the ball in the hole. That's for sure.
Yep. No, 79 is very, very good round. Nothing wrong with that.
Not at all.
I played the local country club, North Oaks Country Club, with one of my buddies who caddies out there.
It's a great course.
Yesterday, got 14 holes in before it rained. Brought the camera out, so be on the lookout for calendar 2025 to have at least one, maybe two North Oaks pictures on it.
At least one, maybe two. All right.
Keep an eye out.
So when do you have to go somewhere?
Take an extended break. I'm going to crush this house with the family this month and August. So I'll be shipping out to probably Georgia at the end of August.
All right. That's good.
Catch me out there. If you're out there, any of your fans are out there, I'll be there. Let me know. West 30 minutes of Georgia by a river. Not sure which river, but there can't be that many. So you can find me. If not there, I'll be in the panhandle of Florida. So come find me. We'll play some golf on Sunday.
You are going to be in Minnesota for the next month. Ish.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Just about. Send me your address, but I still got to send you that bogey train hoodie.
All right. Yeah.
So.
Fired up.
Fired up. That's good stuff. W for the Johnsons.
Yeah. Things are looking up. Big moves.
Are you going to that alumni deal?
I might now. I might be.
All right. Sure, Coach would appreciate that. No, I have the Compesco open that weekend.
He's looking for bodies, I hear.
Yeah.
Looking for bodies. I might make a trip up to Giants Ridge in northern Minnesota, Biwabik, Minnesota, to play some Jeff Green courses. So
it's always a great time.
Yeah, a couple beauties up there.
So yeah, I got the pro-am this weekend. Nothing the next weekend. The weekend after that, big old family get together up in Watertown.
Incredible.
My brother's wife is having a baby shower there. And then the weekend after that, I have the qualifier for the U.S. Mid-Am. That will be at Minnehaha Country Club. Then the week
really
after, yep. And then the week after that, will be the Compesco Open.
Wow!
And then a couple weeks later, I've got the South Dakota Mid-Am Two Man.
Summer of golf, so, dude. Summer of golf.
That's exactly it.
Kicks off tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Kicks off in 2 days with round one of the 3M Open.
3M Open. Are you attending 3M Open at all this weekend?
No. I wish. I wish I was attending. I won't be. I'll be watching, though.
They make our course look easy.
A lot of water out there. A lot of ponds.
A lot of water, a lot of bunkers.
Tough track.
You know, it gets made fun of a lot. So I know the no laying ups and the shotgun starts of the world are, you know, going to poke their fun at TPC Sod Farm this week. But
yeah. TPC Sod Grass, yeah. What can you do?
But I like TPC Twin Cities. And am I biased because I spent time up there and I played the course? Maybe, but I don't care.
Sure.
TPC Sawgrass is a special course, or Sawgrass. TPC TPC Twin Cities is has a special place to me. Yeah. So
hey, people get those Open, confused all the time. All the time. They just, you know.
The 3M Open is you know, I was just, you know, people are going back and forth of which has the most famous 17th hole par three. So
interchangeable. Truly. I mean
the fifth major. Legitimately, so
yeah, well, maybe like seventh.
Don't even tell 3M, me though. Put the John Deere ahead of the 3M
sponsored open. By 3M though, a great Minnesota company specializing in adhesives, so you gotta love that.
3M science applied to life. No free ads though.
Oh no, well I'll give them a free ad. I love 3M, dude. Have you ever used those things on the wall, the hooks they make, and you stick them to the wall, and then when you're done, you take the little tab on the bottom and you pull it, and then it just is off the wall. And genius. Nobody couldn't tell where it was.
Genius.
Yeah, they're really doing something right over there. The 3M HQ.
Amazing. Amazing stuff going on. Man, on that note, we're talking about 3M adhesives. That's probably a good spot.
Sign. It's a sign.
All right. Well, stay safe out there. I was going to make some sort of Secret Service joke, but I'm not going to go there. Not going to go there. Hopefully you get to keep playing a little bit of golf here and there this summer. Wishing you all the best finishing the house. And I'm sure
thank you.
We'll keep in touch. Get a Bogey Train hoodie sent your way, but
yeah,
we appreciate we appreciate Noah for showing up tonight.
I never miss an episode. Look, I've been here since day one, and I never miss an episode.
He's never missed an episode. Don't go back. Jing's on the him.
Jing's on the other hand, you know, he's, you know, hit or miss, but what can you do?
Yeah. But
hope you're wearing the bug spray out there, Nick. Keep the bugs off.
Yep. Just for the record, Jang said he would be able to get on the podcast 2 hours ago. So, yeah. And we have yet to hear from him.
Maybe he's on a different podcast. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Who's to say? But I'm glad we could get another one out there. I've been hearing from listeners that we have to upload a lot more often. I'm hearing our upload schedule is a little bit pathetic at this point.
No, that's the biggest comment I get is people just want more of what it is we're doing. They just want more.
And you might even think I'm being facetious. I'm serious. I've been hearing that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So that's definitely a tentative goal of ours moving forward, is to make this happen more if possible, but we're busy people. It's summer. You know, we love to use that excuse, but as long as I'm not getting paid to do a podcast, I'll probably be playing golf rather than talking about it, unless I get paid to do so. So any brands out there,
3M,
any brands out there, 3M, you know, Waterloo.
Honestly, yeah. I mean,
I could change my opinions on sparkling water for the right price.
Would not take long. Would not. Immediate.
Yep.
How fast can you type an email?
There's you know, there's very little that's off the table that I could that I wouldn't throw some positive vibes for. So,
but we're not desperate. We're not desperate, you know. We want them to reach out to us.
Yeah, of course.
But
of course.
Please, anyone, anything, please send it our way.
Absolutely. I don't know. I got nothing else. He can, if he wants to go down the leaderboard, he can do a separate episode, I think.
Yeah, stay in touch for that, possibly on Insta. The majors are done. What do we got? FedEx Cup coming up.
You're the live guy. You don't care about the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, I really don't care about the FedEx Cup.
I have trouble caring about the FedEx Cup. I'm having a podcast crisis right now. Like I truly have my desire to talk professional golf, especially now that the majors are done, is like, dude, I don't know if you can get me going down the FedEx Cup.
Right now. The Olympics hopefully will throw some content our way. But we might have to pivot into some other realms of golf, the golf world.
Or the world.
Could be exciting. Yeah, we don't limit ourselves to any single topic, as you know, listening. It's whatever.
Yes. Please reach out if there's anything that you want the three most brilliant minds in the United States or Midwest
if you have a full podcast script, or, you know, that'd be great too. We can just read it.
Especially if you have a product or service that you would like to, that you would like to promote, you know, for a certain amount of, you know, monetary trade.
We have no limit to how much of this podcast we will turn into ad reads too. We'll do an hour.
Exactly. We will do it.
You tell me if you could skip an hour of ad reads. You can't. You can try. You can't. So it's a good pod to sponsor.
I see that you have the Eagle Cup on your shelf behind you.
I've been holding the Eagle Cup for maybe 3 years.
We haven't done it since 21.
Well, okay. We don't have to bring up specifics, but I haven't been beaten since 2021. So I've still got it. and I look at it every day before I go to bed. So
what a magnificent piece of welding and Smith work.
Goodwill really came through for us.
Yeah. All right. Peace out, brother. We'll see you on the next one. And let us know what you thought of this podcast, only if you liked it.
I just got stuck in a bogey train.